Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so I'm listening to The Drive yesterday with Sterner and Hughley yesterday afternoon. And Clint spent a few days in Mexico last week with his lovely wife, Lauren, and some friends. And evidently, I saw some of the pictures from the trip because I'm friends with them on Facebook. And I guess there were a few that Clint was lamenting because he's not, you know what the camera does sometimes. It catches you at a bad angle.
Yeah.
You know, you're not your best version of yourself, maybe. Yeah. And Clint was doing some things on that trip, you know, recreationally that were, cardio related. Forster stuff. But they were
sending messages to Lauren he was like, "Look what I found at the pharmacy."
No. They were like kayaking and things like or paddle boating or whatever.
So
stuff
he was
like
shirtless,
that.
Is what you're saying.
He was shirtless a few times.
And he wasn't
yeah.
super stoked about how he looked in the pictures.
I guess because here's, and the direction I want to go with this is not Clint in these pictures. It's that Clint disclosed Lauren sharing the pictures with a bunch of their friends on a group text. And this is actually what caught my attention. Take a listen.
It's probably about, 20, 25, maybe even 30 of us. We got a text chain going. If somebody's having watch parties or whatever, we just use that.
All right. Actually, I wanted the lead up to it too, Ben, but that's okay. That's where I wanted you to cut it off at the end of that. Sorry, I should have been more clear. But give me a thumbs up when you have it. The group text part was the part that I... Is it going to be a long time to get it, Ben? It is? Okay, never mind.
So it's a group text.
Clint is on a group text with possibly 30 people.
Oh, that's a big group text.
That's the part that jumped out at me. He's describing the buildup, and Lauren sent this picture to the group and things like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, so she sent it to the group text, which is him and all his partners, he said, up in Baytown. Mm. And there's, 20, 25, 30, what you just heard on there. 20
is that his entire graduating class?
I don't know. What's
the deal there?
What, dude, 20 people's enough. 30, why would you be on a group text with 30 people?
As long as you have notifications turned off. The problem with a 30-person group text is that it's going to just, there's at any given time of day or night, you might be getting a notification on it.
Yeah, okay. Can you turn them off permanently on a group text like that?
I think so, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm on, I've got multiple group texts that I think that I'm still a part of that I've muted. Yeah.
Even so.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm going to have to open this group text. If I don't have notifications, I'm still going to look down and go, oh, that group text has 41 unread texts.
Yeah. I feel kind of, honestly, when I heard that, Sean, I felt a little bit rejected that I've never been a part of a 40-person group text. What's wrong with me?
I thank
How comes
God.
Out what's I no, I wouldn't I would hate the whole I would hate it, and yet at the same time, I don't want to go to that party, but it would have been nice to be invited.
It would have been nice.
I'd like to act like I'm too good for that party, but still be invited to it.
What's the optimal number for a group text? What's the
two?
I'm on a group text
I
with
despise
Seth
the
and
group
just
text. Brandy's mom, sister, and niece are on a group text, and it's just unbearable. It's because they just start. It's every night after dinner.
Ding, ding, ding. Sounds like she does not have notifications turned off.
Hey, you want to try to finish that Vikings episode and maybe not have it take 4.5 hours to get through? Because you have to pause every time. There's a picture. Did you see the car crash?
Some of the group texts I'm on, I'm on group texts with some of my high school buddies and college buddies who I love to death, but sometimes it's during a game.
Yeah.
During a Notre Dame game, I'm on, somehow I got on a group text with 8 of my Notre Dame buddies, and they won't shut up during the game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brutal.
I'll tell you this.
Because here's
Sean,
the thing, I'm on my phone. It's, I'm on things that aren't that group text.
You're trying to do Twitter
and
everything too.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to use my phone for work or just to do other things, and the group texts keep coming up.
Right.
It's very, Yeah, it's bad for your mental health. That's for sure.
Yes.
You know, you're trying to focus on something. That's why you got to just shut your phone off a lot of times.
How many regular group texts are you on right now?
I don't... Regular? Yeah. Not many. I don't participate. I don't... Yeah. Like, I get over... You know how I am. I have to, like, try to limit distractions.
Yeah.
So it's really, really hard for me with group texts to, like, actively participate or anything.
I've got, like, probably five or six that don't annoy me.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah.
I've got a college... I've got one with, like... My three remaining friends from high school.
Yeah.
I managed to like, whittle it down. I've got one from college teammates. I've got one from a few former Texans teammates. And that's pretty much it. Oh, and then my brother. I'm on a group text with my brother and a bunch of his friends. They aren't really any of my friends. They're just like the kids that used to beat me up when I was little. But now they're cool.
Is it a fun group text?
Yeah, yeah, that's a fun one.
Okay.
That's a fun one.
Okay.
I'm always amazed, honestly. One of the coolest things about modern society is that despite all of these group texts, very rarely, if ever, that I can think of, is some scandalous information revealed from a group text. There's like almost like a tribalism almost that like, okay, if I'm entrusted to be in this group text, I've been beat into this group text, I'm not going to disclose anything. You know, you'd think there'd be more just jerks out there.
Yeah.
They were, well, maybe that's the unnamed sources. A lot of times, maybe the unnamed source is somebody showing a group text to somebody that, okay, so I take it all back. People are scum. They're all scum.
Here's my thing about Clint Sterner and his 30-person. Ben, even if you just have the shortcut, play it one more time.
Somebody in our Baytown text group, you know, all my partners, it's probably about, I don't know, 20, 25, maybe even 30 of us. We got a text chain going. If somebody's having watch parties or whatever, we just use that.
Okay. Here's my thing about a 20, 25, 30-person group text. It's a little like the distribution list on a work email.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know about you, but in a 30-person group, I feel like I fall out of favor with at least two or three of them a year. You know, to where I don't feel like talking to them. They don't feel like talking to me. I definitely don't feel like texting with them. Because you know when somebody gets fired here or let go or chooses to leave, inevitably there's a follow-up oftentimes where it's like, hey, remember to take this person off of the distribution so they're not getting all the internal emails still, right? Because they may tell trade secrets about how we've got to be so awesome.
Plus, we want to talk smack about Steve or
whoever it is. That would be a 30-person group text to me. I'd be like, by the end of the year, I'm going to hate five of these people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's also just the whole, there might be people on the group text that don't like you and you're not aware of it.
Right.
Like, it's too many.
Right.
Do the kids really do group texts or is it more just they're in the same, like a chat on a DM or something?
I'll ask my son. I'm on a group text with my sons.
Your sons aren't kids anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
My older one just turned 25. My older two just turned 25.
I mean, my 17-year-old, trying to use text feels like the dumbest thing on earth.
Oh, really?
And sometimes. Okay. It's just not like the go-to.
It's versus
some of the social.
You're making me feel old.
When it's with their friends, it seems to be on, I don't know, which I'm supposed to monitor this stuff, I'm sure.
Like WhatsApp and stuff like that?
Yeah, I got 3 months and...
out of the house.
Yeah, it's not my responsibility anymore. Yeah.
Here's the other thing, real quick, annoying. And this is, forget about Clint and all his Baytown buddies. And by the way, Clint and his 30 people on the group text, Clint's a much friendlier person than me, I think, most of the time. Like, he's more affable. He's more loyal, probably. Yeah. Like, I've hung around Clint and his Baytown buddies. They're Baytown for life. So I don't think Clint is treating a 30-person text, group text, like a game of Survivor like I would. The other annoying thing, and this is where I point the finger directly at John Lopez, is when you've got one of these green bubble people on a text.
Yeah.
You got one of these Samsung Android people on a text, and somebody likes a text that's in the group text.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just put the little heart at the top of it. It has to say liked and copy the entire text. So I've got to look down and see, okay, do I need to read this? Oh, no, I read this three times already because Lopez liked it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... It's clunky when you let some of the green bubble outsiders into your blue bubble text.
Yeah, it's a cult. It's a big, 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 big cult.
Right.
It's not even like it's actually bigger than an organized religion because it's like 67% of Americans are in this one cult slash church.
Huge cult.
Of Apple.
Is that what it is?
I don't know what percentage of people have iPhones versus Androids. I don't know.
Mine
I don't know
is, what it is. The people I communicate with? It's way over 2/3.
Somebody says y'all sound so old. And
do we?
I don't care.
I really don't either.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay, someone says trailer wheel and frame text page.
Trust me, by the way, there's plenty of 19-year-olds that despise being in your group text. Whoever, you know who that is? The saying, y'all sound so old?
Yeah.
That's like the jackass that believes that we've got to get back to everybody being in the office all the time because that's where the magic happens. No, you're a chatty Cathy that needs more social interaction than any one person should have. So get over it. I'm not going back to work in your damn office cubicle.
Seth has spoken. 2995 trailer wheel and frame text page. Thank you. Try being in a family chat with 100 people.
No, your family sucks. Your family's like the worst. Your family, not mine, but this person.
The texter, yeah. 2995. The fighting 2995s. Let's see. 0481. Sean, just say you're antisocial, LMAO. I got a couple of those with 20-plus people. I don't think I'm antisocial. I go out a lot. I like talking to people.
Yeah.
I generally like people. I think I'm pretty friendly. I don't like my phone going haywire with a bunch of texts that don't mean anything to me.
Okay, so look at how little diversity we have with our smartphones. This is sad. I thought we were better than this in America.
Let's hear it.
Apple, 56%. 56% of smartphones in America.
That feels low, I'll be honest with you.
Samsung are 30%.
Yep.
Motorola, 5%. Google, only 2%. That surprises me.
Okay.
They advertise much for that Pixel.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
That's not proportional to what I feel their advertising budget is.
And LG is 2% also. Okay. That seems, I rounded on some of those, so if it adds up, don't fact check me, everybody. Yeah, so you feel like 56% feels low for Apple.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm just basing that on the people that I'm basing it on the people I text, knowing full well that there's probably people that in that graph chart there.
Mm-hmm.
Are those smartphones or are they cell phones that you're talking
These
about?
These are U.S. smartphone market
okay.
share.
Okay, well then maybe, 56% feels low. I feel like 85 to 90% of the people I text with, I get the blue bubble.
But that's where you see you're in your silo, man. That's
maybe.
That's your group of your folks.
I understand
yeah.
that. Yeah. I agree with you on that. I probably need to step outside and talk to some more
Samsungians
or Motorolians.
Yes, or Googleites.
Or Googleites.
Or the
They're
LGs.
Tough to find.
Yeah, LGs at 2%, underrepresented.
Yeah.
Think about that. Like, think about it. Okay, if you're going to judge like what percentage of people are sports fans by your friend group, it's way higher than it actually is.
Yeah.
You know, I always remind myself of that. Like during the NFL playoffs, especially during the NBA playoffs. Or you walk through, and when I'm walking through an airport, I look at the some of the restaurant TVs. Now, airport's a bad example because airports are generally, they've got the sports games on. But a lot of times, like at restaurant bars and stuff, I'm always surprised when a big NBA playoff game isn't on.
Yeah.
Or a big, like, out-of-market football game isn't on, and nobody at the bar seems to care. Like, it's when people talk about, like, boy, the world was watching Monday Night Football. Well, by that, do you mean 10% of America?
Right.
Actually, not even 10% of America?
Yeah.
So, okay. Not really the world now, was it?
It wasn't. 3589, my 18-year-old communicates through group text with teammates, summer teammates, and friends. I'm not denigrating the group text. I'm denigrating the volume of Clint Sterner's group text,
mm-hmm.
of his podness, of his friends, his Baytonians, Baytonesians. That he's got on there, and that they use it to communicate things like watch parties and stuff like that. As long as it's, I guess, just administrative like that, it's not quite as bad. I just don't need the opinion of 29 other people.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody, the guy that said that we sound old said, no, he's not in that group of annoying people. We just sound like old people complaining. That's what we do.
Fair enough. We usually
do it about sports. That's when you don't realize that you're an old person, too.
Indeed.
When we're sitting around complaining about sports, and later on, as you mature in life, it turns into things like politics, young people these days. I guess your phones, like modern technology, but we're not complaining about the technology because we like and embrace the new technology. It's the specific dynamic of group text.
And the massive group text. I'm fine with group text. Clint on a 30-person group text, just that hit me differently. I'm like, wow, 30 people in a group text. Feels unwieldy, that's all.
You know, I told you there's always, I always enjoy the conversations when people tell me, kind of like a little bit snobbily, that they've moved on past sports radio because they've realized that there are things more important than life in sports. And they say it to me like I wouldn't have already realized that or something. Like, oh, thanks. I didn't realize that actual life and death matters were more important than this entertainment topic.
Nice
that we
perspective,
talk about.
Seth.
Yes, yes, yes. But it was like the oldest person I've ever gotten that from. It used to be generally people in their 30s, guys in their 30s start feeling like, well, I'm better than this. And they all come back. They come back eventually. They realize like, oh, wow, okay, wait. You mean this? These conversations have been going on for centuries and they haven't been resolved yet? Okay, I'm going back to sports.
Yeah. So, the grass ain't always greener.
Yeah, but like a 77-year-old guy gave me this long existential email about how sports at the end of the day don't actually matter all that much and everything. I'm like, yeah. Like, I'm glad you realized this before you died. But of course they don't.
To be clear, if it matters a lot to you, the listener, keep it that way.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, no. It matters. That's the fun way to... Okay, I watched this YouTube, this scientist that broke down comedy, and it was really interesting to me, probably like 0% of people out there, but I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Hell yeah.
So there's two things. It's like, one, you either have to take something that's not that serious and get very serious about it, and yeah, that would be like sitcoms like Seinfeld. Like, you take like these minor, like, or Curb Your Enthusiasm, these minor little things, and you just go over the top with
30 minutes about
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Or the opposite is like, you take a tragedy and you somehow soften it, or take Life and Death Matters, for instance, and you soften it or tweak it somehow.
Right, right.
So like, sports talk is clearly in that category of, okay, at the end of the day, yeah, it's pretty trivial and stupid stuff, and yet, because we're human beings, it's life and death for us. So it's different. It's the same concept as comedy where it's, yeah, you get wrapped up in it and you know better, but you can't help it.
Yep.
So that's what we are. Just embrace it, everybody.
Yeah.
Don't go thinking you're better than what you are. You're a human being, damn it. Join the cult and buy an Apple phone as well.
Seth will now take that YouTube and put it on a 30-person group text
yeah.
to celebrate this segment. All right. I just want to see if you're in our younger demographic, text in 713-572-4610. Tell us if we sound like a couple old guys complaining about large group texts. That's all.
We are a couple old guys.
Yeah,
complaining
I mean,
group
okay.
Texts.
That's see, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Come on, man.
You can tell me I'm bald.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. You know who else is old by some standards? Tom Brady. Is Tom Brady? Is he being real here, or is he working when he says this to Jim Gray? We've got that for you next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Here was Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast he does with Jim Gray, his cabana boy that he brings around with him to all interviews. Nobody interviews Tom Brady except Jim Gray. He's got dibs. Here was Jim Gray asking Tom Brady about Brady's future. Is Tom Brady working here?
Tom, you're leaving everybody guessing. You've said you'll take your time. Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it. Okay? I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only the question scratchy. That everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. Scratchy. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
I can tell.
Okay, so Brady clearly not angry.
Yeah, he was. That was either pre-planned or just him playing a joke on Jim Gray. The more I listen to it, I'm surprised that people are...
The joke being that he cursed?
Yeah, or just acting as angry as he did.
Yeah.
Because every conversation he ever does with Jim Gray is like a completely canned softball interview. I mean, that's just like, they present it as such. It's
hands
his,
in the questions beforehand.
It's his friend Jim Gray.
Yeah.
And Jim Gray, when he asks any tough question, is always asking it like, well, you know, people are asking, and let me bring it up because people say... And then Tom Brady says, well, Jim Gray, I don't know why they put us together, but we both got the most annoyingly nasal accents.
And then they start complaining about 30-person group texts.
Yes,
the
yes,
two
yes,
of them.
Yes. So I think I think it's mostly headline writers actually that are discussing this seriously.
Yeah.
I don't think I keep seeing all these headlines about Jim Gray about Tom Brady being
Brady
angry
cursing
all
is
that.
What made the most news out of that whole thing.
I don't know. He does isn't LFG? Didn't that start with Brady?
Yeah, but no, that he actually said the curse word. You know, is it, you're saying like
it's not just let's go. It's I know it's a let's go podcast.
Yeah.
But I think he's like at various times. But he's a potty mouth on the field.
Right.
Yeah, he's a son of a bee. That's right. I'm not Brady. I wouldn't use the actual word.
Right.
Not me.
Right. No.
You've but,
got
yeah.
class.
He's got an obvious edge to him.
Right.
Like the whole notion that somehow he's this pristine, you know, choir boy or something. That's ridiculous. That went out the door when he knocked up his first girlfriend,
Bridget Moynihan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You remember people in Boston were like, "What am I going to tell my children? Having this child out of wedlock."
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's Tom Brady. That's
what
you tell
laid,
your kids.
Man.
That's why, like, if your kid wants a Bridget Moynihan in his life, a knocked up Bridget Moynihan, then go practice football harder.
That's
you know,
go start
that's
throwing,
what you tell your kid.
Throwing it through the tires, man. Absolutely.
Who would you choose if you had to choose between Bridget Moynihan and Gisele Bündchen?
Bridget Moynihan, and it's not close.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And I'm not even saying like aesthetically or whatever, although she is more my type, I think.
Yeah.
Just, I find Gisele annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, just point blank, I find her annoying.
I think Bridget Moynihan would know how to handle an interview like without disclosing that her husband hid concussions from the league.
Yeah.
Like without, can my wife keep from incriminating me? That's always, usually when I went back when I was dating, my first question I would always ask after a date, a quote unquote, I would say, all right. Is this somebody I can trust to not incriminate me in a casual Today Show interview?
Yeah.
And, like, Gisele, she failed. That's why I kicked her out. Because I was like...
Yeah, you heard me.
So for those of you who don't know what I was talking about, she was just randomly doing an interview about, you know, her worrying about her husband. And she said... She just flat out said, like, he had concussions last year,
yeah.
And, you know, and he had never been diagnosed with a concussion last year.
Right, right.
It was just, so, like, that kind of stuff, and her kind of injecting herself into stuff that could cause team dynamic issues, I never needed it.
I don't think, to your point, what I think you're referring to with that last part, I don't think Bridget Moynihan would be blaming my teammates for a Super Bowl loss.
Yeah.
Remember that, when Welker couldn't bring in that pass in 2011 in the Super Bowl, and Gisele was spotted in the elevator, just... I don't think Bridget Moynihan would do that.
My husband cannot throw the ball and catch the ball. Like, okay, great. So, yeah, I've never heard Bridget Moynihan tear down, like, the entire receiving core
Neither
of
have
my
I.
husband's team.
Of course, I've never heard her talk, but still, yeah.
Well, there you go. Now we're getting to the root of the matter,
Layup.
Aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Plus, I feel like Bridget Moynihan wouldn't get blown into the river when a strong wind gust came by, too. So
like Gisele?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet it didn't work out with Bridget Moynihan and Tom Brady.
They were young.
Yeah.
He was always, I think that's the thing about Tom, though. He's always been a little bit of chasing the glamour.
Yeah.
You know, like he was into the Hollywood side of things and the glitz. That's why he dressed up before that gala in those goofy outfits in New York every year.
Likes to be seen.
He likes to be seen a little bit.
Yep.
He's got a little bit of the Verlander in him. Verlander is a little bit like, he likes to be out there. It's the difference between Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. And, like, who's the more likable dude in that duo?
It's clearly Damon.
Yeah, and Damon doesn't lust after the fame and glitz and everything.
Damon's probably at soccer practice right now or something.
Yeah, it's like, who are you going to date, Jim Gray or Tom Brady? Jim Gray, all day, every day. Everybody knows that.
Problem is, they might be dating each other. Who knows? All right, Larry is in Stafford, once in on the show. Larry, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, son? Great call on Bridget Monahan, man. Yeah, you don't want Giselle is going to be way too much work.
Yes.
And she's probably 99.9% boring in bed, man. Go get you a freak, man. And I think Monahan is a bigger freak, though.
That's a word on the street.
Yeah. Before I
she's got the baby to prove it.
she got some other hitters on her card, too. So, you know, it's all love, man. I just think Giselle is just one of those things, a showpiece. But before I really get into it, y'all was talking about Aaron Rodgers earlier, and this kind of goes back to Tom Brady and Bridget Monahan too, because I think I started noticing Aaron starting to change after that whole breakup with Dana, that race car driver,
yeah, Danica Patrick. Yeah,
Danica Patrick, and then I think he was hitting Olivia Munn or whatever. So I think he went through this whole process of. He was trying to be a superstar too, but then those breakups kind of like warped his mind or something. Now he on hashish and marijuana, whatever he's doing now. It just seemed like he's all earthy now, man. So I don't really know what's going on with him. But he went from being really, really likable to not likable in a matter of a couple years, man. His talent is undisputed, but just how he goes about just thinking that he's floating on these clouds above everybody, that's kind of what's irritating about Aaron Rodgers. Now, look, here's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. Now, we know that the coaches in Philadelphia, Gannon, and I don't know how to pronounce his name, Stinich or whatever his name, right? We know that those guys are in the running for the head coaching job over there on Kirby or whatever. But I never understand why we don't ever hear anything about them and what kind of staff they can put together, because they may not have the kind of assets or the kind of Rolodex that DeMeco has. Because here's the thing. Back in 2006, do y'all remember who the Texans offensive coordinator or assistant head coach was? It was Mike Sherman. Do y'all remember who their O-line coach was? It was John Benton. Seth, I don't remember. I don't know if you know Bob Kamalowicz or whatever, but he was the D-line coach.
Yeah.
I think DeMeco has, when you was talking about maybe finding somebody older to put in those kind of positions, that's exactly the playbook that Kubiak did, and that's also the exact same playbook that Kyle Shanahan is doing when he was in Atlanta and when he was in San Francisco. I think DeMeco is going to have the right kind of guys that he can put over there, whether it's Clint Kubiak or whether it's Anthony Lynn or whether it's some other mature dudes that he could put in position. But I would want him to get somebody that's going, if it is DeMeco, that's going to be able to teach that zone run scheme like it was coming from Bill Walsh himself, because that's going to be the key to the whole offense. Because if you can't figure out that offensive line doing that zone run scheme, it's going to be a struggle for any quarterback you put in there. So I'm thinking that if DeMeco can get over there, he's going to get the right kind of people. Last but not least, fellas, it's always a pleasure to talk to y'all. Let me get in and everything, man, and I appreciate all the love and our home.
All right, thanks, Larry. Appreciate that. My favorite part, that was one of Larry's greater calls, yeah. I would say there, because he got in hitting Olivia Munn and Aaron Rodgers being on hashish or marijuana or something.
Ayahuasca is what it is.
Yeah. He got all that in and then says, here's what I really called in about.
I would revise what Larry said, because early on, you know, between Mike Sherman and Richard Smith was the defensive coordinator, who was not ever a head coaching candidate ever anywhere, as far as I know, unless there's owners that stupid. That didn't work out, as well as when they got Wade Phillips that it really turned it. So, like, Wade Phillips would have been a better choice initially. As far as Aaron Rodgers, you know, as he was talking about him trying to be a hippie, because he does. He gets on, he's like, he's trying to talk peace, love, and happiness and togetherness and all this stuff, and nobody's buying it. And it's almost the difference between, okay, Bill Walton, genuine hippie, versus Jenny's boyfriend in Forrest Gump. Like, remember the guy?
Oh, that guy.
The guy that was like, you know, asked who's the baby killer, and then he smacked Jenny around a little bit.
Yeah.
That fake ass hippie.
He got
he's
his.
Like, he's got all the talking points right, yeah. Right? Like, he knows the bullet points, but it's not in his heart. That's Aaron Rodgers. Jenny's boyfriend.
You can just take the rest of the show off. Yeah. You're done. Your work is done here today. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's a perfect analogy.
Anybody that's going through some kind of, they're trying to make a transition into being a different type of person, but it's all talking points at this point. Maybe at some point they'll actually get there.
Forrest beat him up at the Black Panther party.
That's right. I'm sorry. I disrupted
your Black Panther party. Sorry, I beat up this fake hippie.
I saw a video on TikTok yesterday. There's this girl talking to her boyfriend before they're going to see her parents for the first time. And they drew it out a long time. But she's saying, like, please just, I just need to ask you this one thing. Just because I love you so much. And I think they're going to love you. Could you please just not do your Forrest Gump voice tonight? He's like, okay, Jenny.
That's funny.
Once you start doing a Forrest Gump voice, once you break the seal, it's hard not to do it the rest of the
Especially
day.
When you're specifically told it's responding to a request to not do it. See?
I'm sorry.
Now, that's funny.
What did he say about the Black Panther party?
Sorry, I ruined your Black Panther party. He should not be hitting you, Jenny.
Yeah, thanks, Forrest.
Yeah. All right. We got one segment to go. John Lopez, Landry Locker, we'll find out what they've got going on their show today. It's the Houston Sports Awards tonight. I'm going to get on the record here. We've got a couple of categories that are going to get revealed tonight at the Houston Sports Awards. What do we think wins best moment and best athlete? It will be a celebration of Strohs tonight over at the Wortham Center. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I almost didn't get in here. I was in there. I was congratulating Landry Locker. He's engaged.
Oh, he is?
He was posted on social media yesterday.
Oh,
yeah. He and Holly. He and the lovely Holly.
Is he engaged? A date yet?
No. He doesn't have a date yet. Said maybe soon. Lopez is encouraging him to go to Vegas.
Just get it done.
Because Landry loves Vegas.
He loves Vegas.
That's his jam.
Then, then it comes down to like, you know, her obviously like what she wants. I'm told that's a big deal.
Yeah. Hasn't been yet in both of my marriages.
What would Einstein say?
My first four wives tried to pull that trick.
Ben just got in our ear and said, "What would Einstein say?" For those who don't know, Albert Einstein cobbled together a list of demands for his wife.
Einstein ran a tight ship, is what he did with his lady.
That's one way to look at it.
Soon to be ex-wife.
So, Houston Sports Awards tonight. You're a big part of that production, Seth Payne.
Mm-hmm.
The two awards, there's four awards that are not yet revealed. They have nominees, but a couple of them I don't feel qualified necessarily to vote on them because I'm not super familiar with all four candidates. Like Coach of the Year, yeah, Kelvin Sampson and Dusty Baker, I know both of them. But I apologize, I don't know much about Jenny Volpe, the Rice women's volleyball coach. Mm-hmm. Or John Kay, the North Shore High School football coach. The two categories that I feel like, okay, I can make a pick on these. Prediction. Athlete of the Year. This is a real good metaphor for where we are as a city. Athlete of the Year, the four nominees are Alex Bregman, Jeremy Pena, Justin Verlander, and Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, they've been good athletes.
Four Astros.
Yeah, those guys have been good athletes.
That's where
year.
We are. Who do you think wins?
Okay, read them to me again.
Bregman?
Yep.
Pena?
Mm.
Verlander?
Yep.
Yordan?
I think Yordan wins it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think at the time,
third in the MVP.
I think, yeah, especially if... I'm trying to remember when we voted on that.
It was after the World Series.
It was after the World Series. And I think given that Yordan had some of the most memorable and majestic highlights from the playoffs.
Yep.
It's going to be Yordan.
I think Yordan wins, but I think Pena, it wouldn't shock me if Pena won.
In the moment kind of vote. But you also got to remember that, okay, if you take the whole season and the playoffs into account, that, yeah, Pena from the All-Star game until, you know, right around mid-September was skidding quite. It looked like he was like the rookie season was starting to fatigue him a little bit. It wasn't as consistent a performance. And I know Yordan had his injury issues, but
I wonder if Verlander's going to be there. Not an Astro anymore.
Oh, yeah. But he was looking for a place in River Oaks, right?
Yeah, that's what I had heard.
He was looking for, like, he might settle down here, which would make sense in some respects just because I've always felt that because Kate probably has modeling stuff all over the Americas. Houston's a good spot to jet out of.
Absolutely. It's centrally located.
Yeah. That was my whole argument for him staying here, was that it's better for his wife's travel schedule.
Yeah, yeah. Turns out he was all about the $43 million a year.
Turns out that if you're making $43 million a year, you probably don't worry as much about an extra few thousand on the private jet bill at the end of the month.
Probably not. Yeah. Moment of the year. The moment of the year. Again, this is a very Astro-heavy category. So you pick Yordan for athlete of the year.
Yeah.
Moment of the year. The one non-Astro one is Houston getting the World Cup, which I've heard people debate. Is that really a moment or is that just something that happened to the city? You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people envision a moment as a play in a game, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, Houston getting the World Cup, which is no doubt tremendous for the city. The other three, Chaz McCormick's catch in game 5, I believe it was, of the World Series. In the ninth inning.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
The moment.
Memorialized by like the shroud of Turin in the sand.
The reverse image of his shirt in the dirt. The moment the Astros won the World Series. Kyle Tucker catching the final fly ball. Astros win.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they grouped Yordan's postseason home runs in the same.
I was curious about
same
that.
Vote. They didn't separate Yordan's home runs as the moment of the year. Yeah, Seattle in the first game of the playoffs.
Yeah.
The walk-off. And then the sixth or seventh inning home run, whatever it was. Sixth inning against the Phillies in the final game of the playoffs.
Yeah, I felt like that was unfair. It was almost like if you said, like, hey, between these two composers, all of Beethoven's symphonies versus some other German dude.
Yeah.
I don't know, Pfufenforth. Mozart, yeah, that was
sure.
One, right?
Yeah.
Versus like Mozart's one symphony,
right.
It's not
right.
Fair. So I will go with Chaz McCormick.
That's who I'm rooting for.
Yeah. Plus, you know, you don't know exactly how many awards or, you know, actual total starts Chaz McCormick will have over the next few years.
Which is why I'm rooting for
him. Yeah,
yeah. This could be his moment.
I'd like them to have that. It'd be one nice trophy for the trophy
case. Yeah, yeah. So I'm rooting for Chaz. If I had to predict, I think it'll be the Astros winning the World Series, I think. Mm-hmm. But I'm rooting for Chaz.
Yeah. Chaz was the most... It's an iconic moment that you'll be able to remember exactly. You know, you bring it up 20 years from now and hardcore. You and I will both be dead, but some of the people listening right now will remember it.
Right. And then they'll say, I remember listening about this on Payne and Pendergast back in 2023.
Yep.
So are you you ready to go? Do you know what your question is going to be for Jeremy Pena tonight yet? Or
no,
you
not yet. What were some of the suggestions? So this was actually a really good suggestion. Since so many women were asking Jeremy Pena to either go to prom or marry him.
Yeah.
Should I ask him if he actually went to the prom or if he's planning on going to the prom and or marrying any of those women? Hopefully the marriage proposals and the prom things would be separate women.
Yeah.
But because he's not like he's some 19-year-old kid fresh out of high school.
It's a funny question. I do feel like that question makes it more about you than about Jeremy. You know what I mean? Because you're
why?
Because it's a funny question that he's probably not going to answer truthfully. You know what I mean? Like he may be caught off guard.
I would tell him beforehand. I would give him a chance to be witty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's about both of you.
Now going to prom would be you could only really pull that off if it's somebody that's like a maybe some kind of a situation where the woman either has, you know, it needs to be a special situation. It can't be like...
I was just going to let you explain
it. It can't be some hot high school senior
that he
went to the prom with. It's got to be that, okay, she's, you know, has an illness or something
like
that. Yeah. You don't want it to be... I got so many prom requests from smoking hot 18-year-olds. That would really be a bad look for Jeremy Pena.
Especially if it was like his date to the Houston Sports Awards also. Yeah, and we're still dating.
That's true too. I gotta be careful 18. If I'm not gonna Okay, we'll cross that one off the list. I'm not gonna ask him about the prom or marriage proposals.
Yeah, it feels like that could go any number of ways.
Yeah.
The one that got suggested yesterday was which teammate has the worst eating habits.
Yeah.
Which led to you and I putting a power ranking together of the potential eating habits of several Astros.
You want to ask a question that's going to get a big cheer from the crowd.
So yeah.
You want to pander to the crowd a little bit and make it like a pretty, you know, a pretty PG type of
thing. Which of the home runs, the big home runs he hit in the postseason, which one was his favorite?
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing. Something along those lines.
So I should leave out, like, if you had to get in a knife fight with one of your teammates, which one would you choose?
That would be interesting, too.
Like, to back you up. Not to fight against.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, fighting.
I don't know if that'll pop the crowd the way you just talked about.
If I had to do trial by combat against one of my teammates, who would I choose to knife fight?
Who's the biggest
starter?
Wuss?
Who's the biggest, yes. Who would you most choose? I feel like Kyle Tucker would suck in a knife fight. Tucker would drop the knife or something.
If Greinke were still on the team, I'd definitely pick Greinke. Because Greinke would just be still staring at the knife, trying to figure out the meaning of life.
Greinke's
probably got amazing hand-eye.
And I bet like at some point he went through a kung fu phase or something.
Bad choice by me.
Greinke might kill you quick.
Bad choice by me.
And then do some kind of ceremonial thing to your heart.
You know why I would pick Urquidy? Because his reach is terrible. He's got tiny little alligator arms.
Just hold him off with your head
and just start slicing his torso while he's swinging a knife at you.
Sorry, Urquidy.
Yeah, but yeah, sorry, Urquidy. You got small little gator arms.
Good
all right.
Call.
John Lopez does not have small little gator arms.
I don't have small little gator arms. No. I really don't.
No.
You got to ask Jeremy Pena about always being shirtless in his pictures, in his posts.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
On his Instagram posts?
He takes a lot of Instagram and Twitter pictures shirtless because he looks like an Adonis, you know?
Yeah.
Now, the right answer to that question would be, if you looked like this, you would take a lot of shirtless pictures, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, you would say...
And that would pop the crowd.
Yeah. The shirtless question will pop the
crowd.
I'll
go Bert Kreischer on him and just ask the... I'll go shirtless while I ask him the question. Like, can I be on your Instagram, though?
You need to go full scratchy.
Scratchy?
Yeah, Jim Gray.
Oh, yeah, we played that audio.
Oh, okay.
Scratchy, yeah. Oh, yeah, get him to
you're
curse,
scratchy.
Yeah.
That was creepy, too, when he said, you're scratchy.
No, he's always called him that.
Dude,
Oh, really?
Yeah. Calls him scratching?
Always calls
okay,
him.
Okay, that's not helping.
What's that? So that means like you're scratching, like I've got your...
I don't know the backstory.
Like probably agitating, I would
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, he's that's annoying. Like you're
yeah.
scratching.
Yeah, probably that.
Annoying, yeah.
Probably that.
How you doing, man?
I'm great.
Yeah.
You know, my partner in crime on Middays, you know, did me wrong yesterday.
What did he do?
Well, he didn't tell me that he was getting engaged, and that turned into a whole thing till 3 days later.
I didn't find out till I saw it on Instagram last night. Well. Immediately congratulated him.
That's a teammate, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's teammate. He did good. I like Holly. Holly's
I like
good
her
people.
A lot. Yeah. I like her a lot. And you know, my wife gave her the stamp of approval. I haven't even told Landry that. He said, I really like her.
Oh, really? And he still went and got engaged to her, huh? Didn't get engaged. Jan. Didn't even know that Jan approved of her.
Jan gave him the
that's
the
a big stamp of
approval.
Yeah. Although I feel like Jan likes a lot of, like,
she likes almost
she's
everybody.
A pretty friendly person.
Except for like J.J. Watt.
She didn't like J.J. Watt.
I told you about that, really. She loves J.J. Watt as a player.
Yeah.
But she thinks he's so full of himself. You know, she's one of those.
Okay. I think there's a lot of people in Houston that maybe, I think, misinterpret a little bit. But
that sounds like a take that Landry would respect, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good, like, that's a good, honest, and real sports take.
This is absolutely true.
Yeah, if she were, I would guess that if she were, like, gung-ho gaga over J.J. Yeah. and had posters up on the wall, that might be a little bit of a turnoff for Landry. Yeah.
Exactly.
He just represents what's right in America.
He does.
Landry,
I love
him. Don't you understand? Like, that's not Landry's future wife.
This is true.
So are you as excited for Kafka Ejiro Day as we were for D'Amico Day last week?
More than I was maybe 3 days ago.
Okay.
You know, we always do some deep dives in this stuff, and yesterday we were talking about Kafka. And Lockdog got real excited that he's such a card collecting nerd.
He was excited about that.
He's a huge card collecting nerd. Like
Collecting. Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you meant like card carrying nerd. Yeah. Like he was an ultra nerd.
I thought you meant card counting, which means
card collecting
plays blackjack.
Like sports cards and stuff.
Oh,
he's like a nerd
about
sports
memorabilia.
Big time.
Okay.
Boy, that really is starting to round out the picture. His father described him as a soft personality.
Yep. His mother said he's boring, but in a good way.
Yeah. This sounds like a dynamic leader of men.
Dude.
I'll tell you what.
Real quick, because I know we're up against it, we have Matt Schaub on the show today.
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah, good job.
Matt Schaub is going to be on the show today. After we get off air, I want to ask Seth if there's anything else I should ask him. I got my list. Adam Spillane, obviously Averro. And Landry has put together a really good list of things that people think are really good but really aren't, like in terms of like food and other things.
Okay.
It's interesting. It's
okay.
Very interesting.
Can't wait to hear what that's in honor of.
Like, how do you feel about truffles?
Okay. Hope it's not in honor of me.
Yeah.
All right. All right, we're done. We are out of time. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you.
Good luck tonight.
Yes.
You'll crush it.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta go buy a tie.
Okay.
All right.
Well, good news. You're in a city of 6 million people. They sell those here.
Antibodies. Not as easily as you would think.
You're right.
When you got a... Oh, never mind. My neck's not big anymore, so... All right.
Pencil neck geek Seth Payne, John Lopez, and Ben Gary. I'm Sean Pendergast. We are out of time. We will see you all tomorrow at 6 a.m. Until then, have a great day, everybody.
And coming up next, Reggie White, the Mister of Defense.
Antibodies to you.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.